You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
And I argue that that is not the case at all. As long as we are teaching the students the proper reading strategies, they can really actually read and have a very in-depth understanding of a biblical passage. We have to do things like help them with background knowledge. You know, like there's cultural practices and things from you know, the Old Testament or even the New Testament times that they're not going to understand. Yeah, we have to explain those things to them. Talk about that in the book too. But really, that's the ultimate goal, right? Not just that they read it, but they read it for themselves. Not only can they do it, but that they will want to do it for themselves.
You know, your son is 8
yeah.
and your daughter is 11.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to inspire you and ask you to do me a favor.
Sure.
Teach them one or two or three other languages. If I could go back and beg my mom, I would say, please. I just saw a 4-year-old with an orchestra mm-hmm. on national or it's on YouTube, whatever I saw, playing with a full orchestra. 4.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I happen to have a little girl in my life, a granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
right? And Papa Rhett is thinking, I'm thinking, she's a little over 2. She doesn't have any musical instruments.
Sure.
Now, they're not going to, mommy and daddy are not going to like it when Papa Rhett all of a sudden sends a package and it comes to the door
mm-hmm.
and it's an electric piano. Noise, 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 noise. But what if she has a genius there that's hidden?
Sure.
If she never touches a piano, she'll never know about music.
Right.
How did this little boy at 4 years of age, he must have started playing when he was 2.
Right.
And you know this. If you right now, as an old guy, I remember I learned a little bit of Spanish. Como se llama, me llamo Gloria, Señor Jesús, amigo, hey, buenas noches, buenos días, buenas tardes. Okay, I learned that when I was younger.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I know that now. I find it much harder when I'm older now to learn.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get kids, and they love to learn. They're sure. sponges, you know?
Yes, they are. And so very capable. Sometimes, like you were saying, that little kid and, you know, being with an orchestra and stuff, we just don't always give kids credit for all the things that they really can do. The Lord has blessed children with sponge minds, and we should take advantage of that.
And we underestimate. I never liked reading.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've gone back as an adult and went back and read Sea Spot Run, Sea Dick Shake. I said, no wonder I didn't like to read. This is boring.
That's right.
You know, so my question to you now is, can a child genuinely understand deep biblical truths, or do adults underestimate children spiritually and their capabilities intellectually?
Oh, absolutely.
Without a doubt. Now, you're,
yes.
now you're a teacher.
Sure.
15 years you were a teacher. You know this stuff.
Right, right. And, with my fifth graders, they pulled out some of the most interesting and amazing things when we were reading. So, like, for example, we read through the book of Genesis, right? And we read through Exodus. We started reading Exodus, and we're reading about the Israelites being enslaved. And, the whole beginning is full of terrible things. You know, the babies are being killed and thrown into the Nile, and people are being enslaved, and they're just reading it like, la, la, la. I'm like, wait, hold on. Go back and read that again. What's going on? And so they read it again, and I started asking them, I'm like, why would God allow this to happen? Why? This is getting at your question. Do we underestimate them? And their intellectual abilities
yeah.
and their spiritual maturity. Yes.
Yes.
Because I knew that they were capable of wrestling with this big question. Why? Where is God? These are his chosen people. Where is God? Why is he allowing the baby boys to be killed? What if that was your brother? How would you feel? God's supposed to be with you. What's going on? And it was interesting. They were like, we don't know the answer. And I said, great. We're going to figure it out as we read through this book. But why don't you tell us? And I'm like, they tried to give me some, like, well, but God's always there. And I'm like, how would that make you feel if you were there at that time? Do you really believe that for these people? And they're like, so I'm forcing them to wrestle with some hard questions. I would not tell them the answer. For weeks, I would not tell them the answer. I just kept asking them questions. By the end of the book, they had discovered some very important truths, like we don't always understand what God's up to, but we see him working these things out for good. They started making connections between what they had read here and what they had read in the book of Job when we had done some studies there. So they had this very broad and very deep depth of understanding for finding the goodness of God in terrible things after we went through this book. But it was because I was having them read this, but forcing those hard questions because they were ready for it. I'm not going to do that to like an 8-year-old when they're first starting, right? But these kids, being older, they were ready for me to push them a little bit. Even though with the younger kids, if I'm giving them space to talk about the text, it's amazing that all of a sudden they'll start making connections. You know, my 11-year-old, she's starting to make all these connections, but so is her brother. At 8, we're reading, you know, we were reading about the parable of the mustard seed. And they're like, wait, that's like the story of the fig tree. And that's like the story of the farmer and the seeds on the path and the good soil. And they're making all these connections. Well, it's because I expect that they can, you know, and I've provided them time to read
it. Once again, this is belief.
Yeah.
You know, the power of, we now are learning the power of the tongue. I had a mother. Maybe had some ailments flow. It was about 15, but she never, ever, ever, never put me down.
Right.
She always said I could.
Right.
And now I've traveled. It sounds like I'm boasting, but I'm boasting what my mother did. I traveled the world. Mm-hmm. I've got to interview kings and queens and presidents and all kinds of New York Times bestselling all that stuff. All because my mother, it was just like, well, I can do that. I'm Forrest Gump. My mama says I'm smart.
No, yes. I want to know something. It's funny. I was just thinking when I'm talking to you, and you mentioned about your daughter and, you know, your son. What would you think if your brother was this? You know, I just realized, I was sitting here and said, you know, I'm going to take away from having dinner at your house is when Daisy said, or you told me or something. Were you at the table or were you in the kitchen when she said something like she didn't want to do something unless her brother was with her about, what was that?
Oh, yes. That was when she got baptized.
She didn't want to do it without her brother.
Yeah, she had become, you know, she had made a profession of faith a couple of years before, but she did not want to get baptized without her brother. So she just...
Now, I don't know why that's swimming in my head, but once in a while, you know, it just... Usually you go away from something and you go, oh, what was the takeaway? And I was sitting here going, why is that? That when I looked over at Daisy and she said that, I was like, wow. I mean, that really impressed me. And I wondered why she did that, you know? And why is that important to me? I don't know.
Well, I can tell you, one of the things is that she was very concerned about her brother and his relationship with God. Actually, she would pray. She had a little card by her light switch, so she would see it, and it said, "Pray for Caspian to accept Jesus."
Really?
And, so she would. Jesus was so important to her that she would pray for her brother to also want to follow Jesus too. And so everybody was very, very excited when he made his profession of faith, and then they both got dunked together. And they got baptized together.
Are girls more altruistic? Are females more altruistic naturally, I wonder, than boys, you know?
I don't know.
It's just...
I don't know. My son is also... He's also pretty caring about the people around him, so...
Okay, so... all right, well, we're kind of running out of time here. Is there another book or problem? By the way, we've been talking with Mandy Knowlton. It's a short little 95-page book. You can get it on Amazon. It's Biblical Literacy for Kids, Teaching Students to Read the Bible for Themselves. She's a homeschooler. She was a teacher for 15 years, and she's a homeschooler now with her children. And is there another book or project you're working on for the future? Are you going to have a workbook to go with this? What's your dream?
Well, I have several projects I'm working on. One that's related to this, which, you know, I wrote this book to be short. But I also realized that there's some people that would like me to hold their hand a little bit longer. They're like, I want to implement this, but I just want extra help starting. So if you go to my website, which is biblicalliteracyforkids.com, you can find downloads of... I call them companion guides. They're really like lesson plans that you can use with a kid. And they're really suitable for ages 8 to 9 and up. You can use them for any of that. They're written with the New International Reader's Version, And what I'm doing is right now I'm going through the book of Mark. That's where I like to start kids because it's the short gospel. And Mark loves to use the words like suddenly and immediately. And kids like that a lot. It's just because it moves.
Yeah.
So I'm going through the book of Mark, breaking down the different sections and giving people way more material than they would ever need to use. So they're fully prepared for that section. All the different, all the discussion questions you need, all of the, you know, make different connections, background knowledge that you might want to share. So that's all on the website.
Okay, what's the website again?
BiblicalLiteracyForKids.com.
That's the title of her book, too.
That's
Mandy
right.
Knowlton, K-N-O-W-L-T-O-N. BiblicalLiteracyForKids.com?
Yes.
BiblicalLiteracyForKids.com, teaching students to read the Bible for themselves. This is a life changer. Get your children reading because readers are leaders. And as I said, the thread through 33 years of being on the radio, the successful and the non-successful, there's no doubt. There's a couple of threads. One is humility, and the other is they all read voluminously.
That's right. Definitely need to be reading, especially God's Word.
Well, thank you for, as a teacher who was 15 years as a teacher and now a mom teaching her students, her children, thank you for writing this book, Biblical Literacy for Kids, and thank you for inviting me to your home to break bread with your husband and your lovely children, and I wish you continued success.
Thanks so much.
Is there anything you want to finally say to anybody out there?
One thing. Sometimes we have in our minds that we need to leave the hard and important things to the experts. And I would say, if you're listening to this and you have a kid in your life that needs to read the Bible, you're the expert that God's calling. Don't leave this to the church. Don't leave this to some pastor. You're the one that's in their life that has a relationship with them. So take the initiative and start teaching them the Bible.
I'm Red Palmer, Roger Dodger, over and out.
Tune in again Monday at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. I'm your host, Red Palmer, and this is A New Day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.